Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am joined once again with our OG crew, Nick Ann Sweeney and Randy Vasquez. How's it going?
What up?
Good to be back.
Hey, I'm alive.
Good. Glad you're alive. It's good to be alive.
It is
Not
good
everyone
to be alive.
Can say that, Nick.
I know. There are a lot of people.
We need a lot of dead people that were offended by
can't
that.
Can't say that.
I am triggered. Hopefully 2019 awesome. Won't be as triggering.
Can we do a rewind podcast?
Talos of Rewind.
With more K-pop.
K-pop! K-pop! Let's give the viewers what they want.
That's my favorite part. Anyway, Randy, you got a new Apple device in the family, don't you?
I do. A bigger, a newer sibling, the iPad.
You did it! Which one was
you
it?
You did it! The 12.9 space gray, whatever color space gray is this year. And
that's wonderful.
Whatever
color space gray is.
Yeah, and I absolutely love it. I missed it.
Sweet.
I was so codependent on my old iPad, and I went too long. And I can't buy any accessories for it, so I've been, using it raw, so to say. And
okay.
I found an appreciation using the software keyboard. I like the tactile clickiness of the keyboard that
absolutely.
We have. But
absolutely,
this one, the screen real estate. Listen, iPads, iOS, just iPad in general has the best use of space on software engineering.
I agree.
Over any other tablet I've ever played with, and I try again every single time I have an opportunity. And
right.
we have now the numbers on top of the keyboard, and it's so convenient when I'm logging into things because you have to have numbers and letters, and I don't have to.
Right there, yeah.
It's I love it. So, and I'm so glad to be back. And my iPad's not bent.
Oh, shoot. Or that you can tell.
I got the LTE version, so.
You're holding it wrong. You got to close one eye.
I am holding it wrong. I can't unlock my iPad sometimes because it tells me I'm holding it wrong to move my thumb.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're just like, you're covering up my Face ID.
Yeah, but I love
it. To be fair, to unlock the last generation iPad, you had to touch it in a very specific place with Touch ID. Whereas now, you can literally tap anywhere on the display and it turns right on.
Right.
Tap to Wake is great.
Except for one spot.
Yes.
Except for, yeah.
Tap to Wake. I can't ever go back to an iPhone and anything without Tap to Wake. This iPad's great, and you are right about the having your thumb placement on everything. And I'm willing and ready to rechange my muscle memory with the iPad just to have Tap to Wake because I can't ever use a device that doesn't have Tap to Wake ever again.
Used to that now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even on Android phones, a lot of Androids have had that in the past, but it's usually like a double tap to activate and it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
And I think that while Apple was late to the Tap to Wake game, they definitely got it right. It's just one time, instant lock screen. It's not like the ambient display and then the lock screen and then the home screen. Like, it's too much. I love that it's just one tap and on. And it's so simple. And the biometric already starts looking like in the past with Samsung phones. My issue has been you turn on the phone and the biometric's not looking right away. You have to swipe up and then it starts looking and then unlocks. It's just.
Oh, speaking of biometrics, though,
the
angle, my iPad will be flat on the table. I tap it, and I'm far away from it just to check the time or see if I got the notification, and it unlocks.
Oh, it's so much wider on this one.
I love it.
And Sweeney, which iPad Pro do you have?
12.9-inch LTE.
Hey-o.
As well.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm the only one without the LTE.
Yeah.
We all got the 12.9-inch Pro.
Yeah.
How about that?
You have silver, though, right, Drew?
Oh, are you guys in the space gray gang?
Yeah, we're both space gray.
I've been in silver for so many years. I'm actually doing the reverse Talos of thing, and I'm now slowly converting everything to space gray.
I've been in space gray for too long, so I upgraded.
Yeah.
But I did get a Quack Quack.
Uh-oh.
I can already imagine Brian Tong laughing. The Quack Quack. I got the Quack Quack 2.0
double dongling, Drew? That just sounds nasty.
Wait, you got it.
This
what?
Is way more than a double dongle. This is a... This is at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Octodongle.
The octodongle.
This could be the title of the
this
podcast.
This is the octodongle.
This is not necessarily a sponsor. They're not paying anything, but they literally, I got my first Quack Quack that I promoted so many times across so many different channels and podcasts.
That's right.
Because it worked so well, and they just sent me one. They didn't ask me to say anything. They just sent it to me. And I finally realized, you know what? I could use another one because I keep going back and forth between using it with my Mac Mini or the iMac Pro or my iPad. So I just email them and say, hey, guys, so I have this many subscribers, and literally all I talk about is you.
Right.
You guys are the only company I promote, and I don't get anything for it. All I do is promote you guys and tell everyone to buy your product. Can I get a new one? They were like, sure, why not?
That's and
they
awesome.
Sent me, cool. They sent me a version 2, so this one's thinner and smaller. It's lighter, and this time it's silver, so it actually matches my silver iPad Pro.
Unlike
last time, they gave me a gold one, and
it looks better.
These
too.
Things are incredible. Yeah, I think they look much better. They have a 3 traditional USB ports, 1 HDMI that supports 4K output, and then Ethernet, a USB-C for continued charging while using the adapter, and then SD card and micro SD. So
there you go.
Is Talos of Tech worth it? Hey guys, this is Nick.
Just so that everyone know that
not worth
we have timestamps to prove all this. For the longest time before it was cool, Drew promoted LumaFusion.
Yes.
So
that's true. Very, very true. But I will say that I promoted LumaFusion from a fan request. It wasn't me searching the App Store for
you made video it. You editing. Introduced me to it over a year ago, and I've never looked back. And I've already drooled over it long enough. But where I'm getting at is that for as long as that LumaFusion was promoted, so was the Quack Quack. So if LumaFusion turned out to be this amazing thing that we're talking about, maybe we have some, you know, analytical facts here to back up that when Drew's promoting something, you should probably give it a try.
Yes.
Quack Quack, I'll take one too now since I'm promoting you.
Seriously, though, like, every complaint about the removal of ports is fixed. I guess there's no headphone jack.
But Drew,
I didn't think about that.
It's a dongle. Just sounds nasty.
It's a quack dongle. Wait, no, what do you call it?
It's a quack dongle? Ugh, that sounds anyway. Nasty.
Quangle. That sounds explicit.
Censor that, Nick. Hey, but that's cool. It looks nice. I like how the design of it looks more modern, and it does match.
Definitely.
So congrats on getting that. I'm glad that they're being attentive to you, and they're not just ignoring you. Like, hey, I just gave you all this free publicity, and
they honestly. Nice. I would go as far to say that LumaFusion probably owes me half their stuff.
100%.
I mean,
no.
They wouldn't be wrong.
It's all me. That was all me.
Jomo who?
I just loved seeing LumaFusion grow into a mainstream popular app after all this time, because I remember making that video about it, and literally, like, no one was talking about it. So
right.
It's great that they finally caught up. You know what else I'm noticing right now while using my iPad is the Apple Pages app. How long has that had the Apple Pencil as the icon?
Since...
Pretty long. I think they had it before
the actual first Apple Pencil.
Really?
I thought they was a regular pencil. It was a regular pencil before.
I remember the redesign. Yeah. Oh, you know what? They might have added the cap. It may be in a.
See, now they got to remove the cap because it's not supposed to be there anymore.
Which means they would go back to the old design, because I remember the old logo before they did the flatter redesign for it. This was their look. Yeah. So, So, which came first, the app or the pencil? The age old question.
It's kind of like if you're on macOS. If anyone still notices this, and something's loading or something's buffering, sometimes the mouse will turn into a watch, and it's an old fashioned watch. It's not an Apple Watch, which I don't know.
Yeah, but it's square.
I like the little details like that. I wish they would fix it. It's round.
Is it?
Very pixelated, but it is a round watch.
Hmm.
It's hard to recreate because only certain apps, most of the time you get the rainbow circle, but sometimes if something's loading, the mouse.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I remember. I'm thinking like, that's something hasn't been upgraded in its whatever app it's using to still show the to still show the watch. But that'd be cool if they just, as a little Easter egg, they put the Apple Watch in there.
Yeah,
that'd be fine. I'd be okay with that. Well, in regards to iOS, do you guys have like hopes or expectations? Because a lot of people keep expecting me to make an iOS 13 video, and I don't like making those because every year I have the same wishes as the year before.
I think like what I would want to see, or
do you have any specific hopes or expectations for iOS 13?
I would like to see a touch interface, Logic and Final Cut.
Oh, yeah. Just more pro app. Interesting. Yeah.
I just, sure. just for them to kind of, it doesn't have to be as well, no, see, the thing is, like, the LumaFusion really opened up my mind to what you can really, how in-depth you can get into it. Mm-hmm. I feel if Apple did it natively, they would find a way to make it even better.
Yeah.
More, mm-hmm. have a smoother experience. Maybe utilize the refresh rate as you're scrolling back and forth in it, just to give it that butter, or that peanut buttery, as you call it. but in regard, but that's just like applications, and that can be at any point within regards to the interface. I think being able to. No, I
love I love Randy's thinking sounds. I could just listen to that for an hour. Like you could, like you can tell Randy is putting legitimate thought into what he's saying.
Because most of my concerns have been addressed. Because everything that I had an issue for was more hardware based, and I don't know if I'm still in the honeymoon phase, but my hardware concerns have been fixed. We got strong. You know, we got the A12X. We have great battery. I have great screen real estate, and they're utilizing the screen space. People might complain about the home. Maybe redesign the home layout a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it because I, you know, minimal apps on it for me, so I don't care. But I feel like I can't think of anything off the top of my head except applications, but that can come at any point. So that's not iOS 13 exclusive. So I don't
know.
For
me, it's just the volume indicator just moving into the corner.
Oh, if we're now, that's just iOS 13, not iPad in general. Yeah, the volume is taking up the screen. I want to be able to edit my camera settings in the camera app.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's the saddest thing. That's why I don't want to make an iOS 13 wish list. Is because I've been asking for these things every year.
I can't think of anything.
iOS 12 wish list. iOS 11 wish list, right. iOS 10 wish list. It's all the same.
Oh, and just because somebody listening to this will say it anyway, yes, dark mode. Okay, there, moving on.
Sure.
So, well, like, that's, you can, smart invert works, but.
Yeah.
It does like 90% of what people want dark mode to do. And half the battle is just getting third parties to support dark
mode.
So,
right.
If the third party app doesn't have dark mode built in, Apple adding dark mode doesn't really mean anything. So I don't know why people get so uppity about dark mode, because you would get used to it in about 30 seconds.
Yep.
Be like, yes, yes, we're getting dark mode.
Okay. I'm saving so much battery. And then they, you know, load
like 5% extra,
Facebook Messenger, which is all white, and then they're going to go.
That's exactly what I was using right now. I was going to say, like, you're just going to open Messenger and be like, oh. Well, then you open Instagram and it's like, oh.
I'm blinded by the light.
See, dark mode actually works for macOS because you can move the windows around, and it does. It's not like the whole interface doesn't change. It's just the folders are darker, the taskbar, the dock, all that. Those just little changes, but your background doesn't change. I'm using the dynamic wallpaper, so it's whatever it is for me throughout the day, but little things change, not the whole interface, and it's not even dark. It's just gray. It looks like I'm always in some type of Logic or Final Cut window for me, so it's like, you know, it's not necessarily, it's gray mode. It's not even dark. It's just gray mode.
Yeah,
right.
So
dark gray
mode. Maybe if they want to have something like that for, I don't know. Like that, just the interface on iOS is just different. It's going to take up the whole screen. So it really is dependent on the third-party app. Like Twitter, you can go blue or you can go white. Use your darker day mode or whatever. So it same thing with YouTube in the app. So at this point, I think all
it's already there.
Yeah, same thing with our app.
the Talosive app.
There you go.
The in-development Talosive app.
Yeah.
Guys. Which will, I think he wants to have a black mode and a dark mode, yeah. Right?
Oh. We're still working on that.
Like the black mode is for OLED devices.
Yeah.
So that you can turn pixels all the way off.
And then dark mode there is kind of more the standard.
See,
YouTube
if Talosive does a dark mode or a black mode within the app, it's going to be done right.
That's right.
So, there you go. There
you heard it here first.
We're going to get it right the first time.
So
I'm excited about this app. Testing. Yeah, this app is just getting me so pumped.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of work. I have a new appreciation for app developers after working with our app developer on this one, because I know how long it takes to do very, very small changes.
Yeah.
Very tiny thing.
I feel bad every time I send Ethan a message like, hey, can you fix this one little thing? Can we add a gradient here? Can we change this tile to like light gray? And I'm sure inside he's just like, oh. But
he says Ethan likes it.
Ethan is like the coolest guy ever. He's always been more than accommodating.
He's always on it.
Yeah.
Are we allowed a name drop?
I thought so.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
All right.
Cut this out. Don't cut the. I don't know. Well, verify before we post this one.
How about that, Drew? Name drop or no name drop?
You can ask him.
Yeah.
Wants to be on the podcast.
If he says yes, if he says yes, hi, Ethan, you're so cool. If he says no, it's Randy. Randy's been doing it this whole time. Oh, on that note, I told Nick a couple days ago, I am going to reinstate my developer account again. Ooh. I haven't used it for some time. I was tinkering around with doing some app stuff back in 2016. So I did have it. I did not renew. But now that, you know, you're getting on it and we have Ethan and we have kind of more of an incentive. I can't. What does that say?
He says yes. He says we can name drop him.
Okay, we're good.
Thanks,
we're
Ethan. Cool. You're awesome.
Ethan, you're cool. So yeah, I'm going to reinstate my developer account again. And
wow, Ethan, great moves. Proud of you. Sorry, some people might get that. Never mind.
Okay, moving on. iOS 13 wishlist from Nick. Here we go.
Yeah,
fasten
you
your
seatbelts,
folks. What do you got? One thing. Okay, multiple things, but one big thing. I would like to have an option in the settings, just an option, doesn't have to be mandatory, where you can get rid of the home screen. So I have all of the apps on my iPad in my dock.
No, you're done. Stop talking. You're done.
Folders. Stop, guys. Come on.
Get off.
Randy. Hear me out at least, will you?
Okay, for iOS 13, I want to get rid of it. What?
You're not hearing me. Randy.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
So you know how on a Mac, you have the dock, which has all of the apps you use, right? Then you have the launchpad thing to get into the apps you never use, or Spotlight. I have, over the past couple weeks, set up my iPad to work a lot like that. I shoved all of the hundreds of apps that I have into folders and subfolders and on my dock. And so whenever I want an app, I just kind of do the half swipe up to the dock, and then I have all my apps right there. So I never have to go to the home screen and like swipe between the big panels. It's just very efficient. It's all right there. What I wish they could do is instead of it being a micro swipe to get up to just the dock, because sometimes that's hard to get just right, I wish that there was an option where you could swap how far you had to swipe to get to the dock or the home screen. Because, you know, even if they still have the home screen there, that's fine. But I'd like to an option where you can swipe up, like, you know, almost all the way, just like you do to get home right now on the iPad. But instead of it going home, it just bring up the dock, and there'd be some other gesture to get to the
home screen. This is very specific.
It is.
I know.
I'm interested.
It is.
This is. I can tell you've thought about this too, Nick. You had an exact answer.
I have another one too.
I've not heard of that before.
Yeah, no,
that's
sure
very interesting.
I'm the only person asking for it. But it would just make it work a lot more like
I'm not
my
sure
Mac
if I would use that.
Because my Mac pretty much has one or two apps open in the front. And then at the bottom, there's all the apps that I ever use. Like, I think I have probably a good 20, 25 apps just on my dock. So it's real small, and it's hidden. Like, you know, you put your mouse down there, and the dock pops up. It's just, that's kind of just like how it would be on the iPad here. You have about 20 apps, mm-hmm. very efficient. And then, of course, on the Mac, you have the launch pad where you can get to all the apps on your phone. And so maybe it's a launch pad. I'm okay with just having five folders full of multiple pages of apps that I never use. Because most of the time, honestly, if it's not one of the apps that are just like big, like mail, messages, photos, calendar, notability, camera, Illumifusion, Talosiv, Twitter, YouTube, you know, if it's not one of those apps that are one of the ones I use very frequently, I'm just going to use Spotlight. Mm-hmm. I use Spotlight to find the app because I don't want to dig through whatever folder.
Yeah, just like my Mac. You want the iPad to be more like the Mac.
See, and Craig says, like, I want the
Mac to be more like the iPad. Yeah, I want my Mac to act more like my iPad than I do my iPad more like
Drew,
a Mac.
I'm a true professional.
Yeah.
I just wanted bigger fonts. That was it. Here comes Nick with this whole, like, okay, here's what we're going to do. At a coding level, we're going to strip it. And we're just going to completely redesign. I'm like, can we just make the font a little bit thicker?
You can edit the font in the settings, Randy.
Just like the font though, not
display,
not the size.
And brightness.
I want a new font.
You don't like San Francisco, dude? You're not allowed to be on the podcast if you don't want.
Is it still San Francisco
font?
I thought they changed it.
I like San
Francisco. I will end this call, Randy, if you do not want San Francisco. San Francisco is the
and
best
Drew just
font
wanted the volume indicator. Drew's can we push the volume?
We
in the
had
corner?
Easy things like, oh, get rid of the volume thing. Like, I'm over here, like, I don't know, give me pro apps or something. Nick, see, when you swipe up just a little bit halfway, I wanted to actually go into a new. Whoa. all that from like, hey, what do you guys want to see in iOS 13? Nick, now's my chance.
Apple, what I'm annoyed listen. By. What drives me nuts is like everything Apple Pro's iOS 13 concept, and it's just like 80,000 jailbreaks done at the same time. And it's just like, we're going to completely alter every side of the app. And I don't even think most of the changes look very good. Some of them are nifty, but for the most part,
the lock screen thing where it can tell you the weather and something like that, I think it's cool as an option if it's as, you know, seamlessly integrated and has that minimal layout right there just to tell you time
like
and weather. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like
so I like to have it kind of just like right there. Otherwise, I on my widgets, when I swipe left, that's the first widget I have up there. Is it tells me my the weather, and then it tells me my calendar, because I utilize those all the time, especially the calendar. So if there's a way to just like little things like up next, and just it's kind of like right there.
It's
like,
okay, Apple Watch, that's cool. Come on.
Next. Guys, so the
us
reason
humans,
why I did not get
have
the
developed like so many ways to check the weather
so instead of just looking outside
50 years ago we go like this,
just put your finger up. Yeah, it's
good.
Cold outside.
It's good.
I need a jacket.
Look out a window.
There's
or
snow
I
outside. Yeah, I think it might be cold
Siri
today.
Siri on my Mac. My Mac Mini will tell me the weather, and my watch, and my phone, and my iPad.
Except Siri on the Mac sucks, so it'll say, sorry, my web search didn't turn up any results.
Have you ever used Siri on your Mac? Honestly?
Me? I keep hitting it accidentally. I'm about this far, or this close, to just removing the Siri button on my touch bar.
But have you ever used it?
No, not on purpose. Why would I push a button on my Mac?
I've occasionally used it, yes.
When I could just...
What have you used it for?
Opening folders sometimes. I know, it's weird.
Like if you can't find the folder?
Like, I don't know where they are, so I'll just tell Siri, like, open movies from this date.
Oh, so not
like
the you
one
won't,
thing Siri's good for.
Like, you won't go into the Finder and, like, type the name or something? You'll just, like...
Well, sometimes I don't know where it is. Like, I'll open Finder
Spotlight.
And I'll be like...
Do you guys not use Spotlight?
Yeah, but Spotlight, you gotta, like, use a mechanical keyboard. I'm all about that virtual keyboard. So...
This you're the Apple smart sheet keyboard for a reason.
I will say that USB-C on the iPad makes lightning on the keyboard and mouse very confusing. Isn't that bizarre?
I don't know why we hold on to lightning. The more I think about it, Drew, the more I think I align to your vision that let's just kill the last port right now and do a clean cut and force people. And I know it's not going to be good for so. And this is a very controversial thought, but USB-C should be the last final port, mm-hmm. and it's something that requires charging.
That shape.
Yes. Just least. put it on because right now in front of me I have the mouse, keyboard, AirPods, and this little thing is the more I look, it's like we don't need it. We get rid of it. Put everything USB-C so we have one cable to bring with us everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. If we're all about minimalism and simplifying, and that's the Apple's philosophy of just like simplicity added, but you know, all that, right? Kill it and get rid of the port on the phone because my girlfriend is now 100% wireless. Ooh, nice. I'm almost there, but I do use CarPlay, so that's when I don't use it. But everywhere I go, I have a stand. Okay. So for me, we don't need that port anymore, and I think we should just get rid of it. And the only thing we did need it for was the iPad because it was a bit of a, you know, it's kind of like a powerhouse in its own right for iOS. And the fact that they did do USB-C and we have it for Mac and everything else portable, get rid of Lightning. Just kill it.
It's the last port.
Even just outside of the Apple ecosystem, I know we touched on this a couple weeks ago, I have a Surface Book, and that has a USB-C port. I'm not sure if it's Thunderbolt 3, but that's...
Does it charge with
it? It does charge with it, yeah. I was kind of worried that I was going to blow the whole computer up when I plugged in my 90-watt...
So you have a MacBook Pro and a...
Yeah.
And a Surface Pro.
Yeah, a Surface
Book.
So
do you pack one charger everywhere? Surface Book.
I will. There's too many. I will. Yeah, if I ever... Like, right now, I'm actually charging my Surface Book with the Surface charger, which is like a little MagSafe half-looking thing that's black and it's weird. But I think going on in the future, I will just bring, you know, I'll leave this charger at home. And I have the charger at my desk, which is the dock. But if I'm ever going anywhere, I definitely will just bring my USB-C MacBook Pro charger.
Do you travel just with your iPad?
No.
You bring your MacBook?
I spent so much money on this MacBook and so much money on this. Well, I'm just like,
for example.
Of course I have to bring it. Gosh.
No, well, just like, imagine a suitcase. He has like an iPad Pro, a Surface Book 2, and a MacBook
that
Pro.
That is the only reason why I got a global entry and TSA pre-check on, did like a background check thing. Because I got sick and tired.
You'd have to take
out
3 tons.
And then they all look at me weird, like, why do you have so many things? Are you some like.
Well, these are bombs.
Yeah. What's inside that battery? Not lithium ion.
Well, this one is C4 mostly. You just tell him that.
This is the Note 7.
I work for TechRex. We're going to film a video.
Why are you bringing all these on the airplane? Oh, this is because we're trying to see can they handle the compression that goes in the air, or are they going to blow up?
We'll find out. What do you think of the Surface Book 2, Nick? You've used it for a while now, right?
Yeah, I've used it. I've used it for a couple weeks now. I don't mind it. My biggest beef is that it's running Windows 10. And I think we've beaten the dead horse that is Windows 10 too many times to count so far. I'm sorry. Fed the horse.
Did you guys see that news article? Time. Oh, yeah. You PETA. Fed the horse.
Good old PETA. Hey, always good
you.
For a joke.
Thank you for bringing that up. That's a long story. Did you see the article that the chief of Windows 10 confirmed that they were sending out... beta versions of Windows to like public users.
What? Oh, maybe that's my problem.
If you look it up, he essentially confirmed that they were running test versions of Windows on just random PCs. If you're having driver corruption or if you're having bugs, that could be why. It's like Microsoft's like a beta program, no need. Let's just give everyone the beta.
So
without cause or
why
pattern.
Would I do that though?
So I just thought it was funny that their comment on everyone's problems was just that probably makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's weird.
Similar to Apple confirming the bent iPad. By the way, Windows 10 might start erasing some of your files, and a lot of the drivers may go corrupt.
That's okay. That's normal. Have everything up on Dropbox for that reason. All of our client files, everything is on Dropbox.
Meanwhile. Your iPad Pro might be 0.083 microns
bent.
Off.
Yes, definitely. So Apple sucks.
Which you
trigger.
I keep looking at it that way, and I just imagine myself thinking, "Why would I ever look at my iPad like this?" Otherwise,
yeah.
I didn't even think about we find we find reasons to find problems, I feel, because maybe my iPad is bent the longer I look at it, or it's like that, you know, you stare at it long enough, and I don't even know. I don't care. For me, I'm looking at it, it's like, it's flat.
Yep.
It doesn't screw up with the interface. I don't know if it's bent. Maybe I think it's bent. I don't care. I honestly think
it's a placebo for a lot of people. Yeah. They start putting it down on their desks, and then they start looking closer, and they go, wait a minute.
That's why it's wobbly, not the camera bump. It's the bent.
slap a keyboard cover on it, and you'll never notice. Yeah. So back to the Surface, though. It's really top-heavy. Like, besides Windows, the biggest beef that I have with the Surface Book is it's top-heavy. Like, it is truly impressive that they packed, an i7, you know, 16 gigs of RAM, you know, impressive computer.
Surface Book 2 has a ton of specs.
Definitely. It's impressive that they could fit all of that into just the lid of the computer. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. And, like, the ventilation and all that, very impressive. 100% impressed on that. The problem is, there's nothing in the bottom. It's literally...
I think there's, like, a couple
things. There's technically a battery and a real GPU down there. But the weight is
all
off.
Okay, so when you detach...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still a battery inside, though, in the top.
Okay.
So when you detach it...
Obviously, yeah.
So there are two batteries.
You detached it and you lost all your battery. Yeah. That would suck. But no, the Surface Book 2, when you detach it, it loses...
GPU
and battery.
Yeah, it loses about half its battery, and then an external GPU, and it has to rely on integrated graphics.
That's ridiculous.
You're making me sad. I know. It's an interesting idea. Like, Windows 10 is not optimized for touch interface at all. So that's not. I don't walk around the office with just my Surface Book top. Like that.
So have you ever found a practical use case for the tablet mode?
Windows, or let me rephrase. Microsoft as a company, I think they are best utilized as a service product, like with their Office suite, and just they have really great software.
Xbox. Like,
operating system. But I think that I look at Microsoft now, and I think of, like, what would be the ideal. So you got Microsoft, Google, Apple. One makes great hardware. One makes great software. One makes, or by software, software, not OS.
These are all the same company.
Is a great service company. And in my opinion, and maybe I hope you disagree so we can have a discussion on it. Apple makes a great hardware. You have great software with the Google suite of apps. And then you got great service with Microsoft's Office suite. And if you can have them all in the Apple, like on the iMac or something, and it just works like that, and everything else, you kind of basically cut the fat off of everything else that these other companies are doing, and you just have that. I feel like that would be the end all be all for consumer electronics when it comes to computers and PCs and all other stuff.
That's a good point, but I think that Windows is kind of just the business computer. Like, is so
very
going
business.
Back to me.
What does
to
Windows
get a Mac?
Do that Mac can't?
It's not that it can't. It's usually that's the standard.
It's usually that third parties optimize all their apps.
This is what Drew would say. Ready? I'm Drew right now. But who says that's the standard?
Okay.
Why?
Well,
why should that be the standard? Am I doing good, Drew? Because that's exactly what you
I wouldn't exactly
why, why is
say
24
that.
Frames the standard? Who decided that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you're doing.
Okay. Oh, I can't hear you,
yeah,
Drew.
Yeah, I can't hear you, Drew, either. Hello?
Oh, shoot. Crap.
Hello?
Hello?
Hold up.
Hello?
Hello, test.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Hi.
Okay. Randomly, my mic got disconnected. Sorry.
Maybe interesting.
Interesting.
Okay.
So, Nick, you're going to have a lot to work with.
I know. It's going to take me all day to edit. Gosh, darn it.
Anyway, so I'll rephrase again. Am I in the ballpark of what you're doing there, Drew?
Sort of, but go ahead. Finish what you were going to say, Nick.
Yeah, so... Basically, yeah, most business things run on Windows, right? So QuickBooks is a great example. It's a software package that enables accountants to do their job a lot faster. And sure, there's a Mac version, but the Windows version is the standard. Everyone knows how to use the Windows version. Here's another example. So we run a bunch of remote desktops because we have a lot of client files and banking information and stuff on our servers. We run AWS servers, Amazon Web Service servers. So we have a whole virtual environment that we remote into on the Surface. So I get out my Surface Book to launch the remote desktop, and it automatically connects to our AWS server. I'm sure there's a way to set that up on a Mac. I just don't know how to do it, right? And so it's easier because everyone already knows how to do it on a PC. And so another example is we have all of our client files up in OneDrive, or not OneDrive, what is it? Kali, not Google Drive. What's the other one?
Wait, for Microsoft? One?
No, no. Gosh darn it.
For which OneDrive? Which one?
Not OneDrive.
Dropbox.
Dropbox. Thank you, Drew. Yeah. My gosh.
The OG cloud service.
Hurt my brain. Yeah. So we have a bunch of client files, and it's important that we're all able to access the same client files, so we're not bothering the client twice for the same piece of information. So we keep all of our client files up on Dropbox. The great thing about Dropbox is it's very easily integrated into the quote-unquote Finder, the file explorer of Windows. So you can be looking in the same window where you're looking at your desktop. You can also see all of the client files in Dropbox. So those are just a few of the things that I've noticed that kind of make it difficult to be a Mac user in the professional workspace. Now, obviously, if the CPA firm was started with Mac in mind and everything was based on Mac to begin with, then I think that it would be a lot easier because, you know, because right now, you know, I'm the one person in the whole office who would want to use a Mac, and you know, everyone else is using Surface stuff, and they're all fine with that because that's what they've used. They're used to. And so I realized that in a lot of businesses, that's just Windows is just, you know, that's the computer. Like there's no question about that. And so if you'd like to question why that's the thing, please go right ahead.
I think I can explain it pretty well. See, what I've noticed about people who like Windows or prefer Windows or use Windows all have the same argument of, well, this application or this program that I need either for gaming, either for pleasure or for work, is only on Windows and they're highly more optimized on Windows. So they've kind of had this inner framework of a pre-existing use of Windows. Everyone's used to running Windows. Everyone's accustomed to it, which means that it's not Windows itself, really, that people like. It's what is available on Windows that they need. So, in my opinion, especially now with Windows 10, Microsoft going all haywire thinking, you know, like, where we make such beautiful operating systems, we're just going to make it even better and then switch to a complete touch interface because the future means touch screens, right? So they adopt everything to a touch screen, and then it just kind of screwed up the user interface like with Windows 8, and that's why everyone was so mad about Windows 8 is because they were like completely throwing out function and going all in on aesthetic, and why Windows 10 was somewhat forgivable was because they actually stopped for a second and went, oh, we should make it work pretty similarly to 7, but we still want it to be touch-friendly, even though I think 80% of the devices Windows 10 runs on probably don't even have touchscreen. Even though that's what the creator of the operating systems going for. The difference is, I think when people prefer macOS or they like macOS, it's because of something macOS does. It's something that is originated from the developer, like the Apple Watch to unlock or the AirDrop or the iMessage or the cloud library and stuff like that. There's something Mac or continuity iOS between Mac. There's something Apple has made with macOS where the actual features that are part of the operating system are what's enjoyable. Whereas with Windows, it's all about those third parties that make it enjoyable. It's you're relying on other companies to essentially make the OS worth your while. And the reason why Windows is a standard is probably not that complicated. I've had my dad on the podcast before, and he talks about how originally, before Windows was really a thing, everyone in the education industry used Macs. That's what everyone was used to. Everyone used a Mac. That's what everyone grew up with. But then these PCs started coming out, and it's the same argument we have today. They were much cheaper. They made Windows copies way more affordable than Macs. They could buy gateway laptops for basically no money. They were essentially free. Businesses would businesses, literally, I've had conversations with people at my schools back in the day. They got most of their computers for free because the businesses would get tax write-offs if they donated their worst computers to schools. So they would literally save money. These computers that most schools were using are literally negative money. If you use this computer, you save money on both ends.
Yeah.
So the business saved money because they got tax write-off, and the school saved money because the computers cost nothing to them. They were donations. So obviously, the Windows market flooded. There was way more PCs everywhere, also because it was open source, so there were more third-party interpretations, and there was different companies making PCs and stuff like that, which just meant simply that, you know, there's a lot of startups, there's a lot of new companies being developed over the past few decades that needed the cheapest machine possible. They couldn't all afford the best machines, so they basically all had to settle with PCs, and that meant that in order for these third parties who develop software for businesses, schools, whatever it is, they knew that they would have better chances of making a profit or making revenue or pushing numbers if they catered to the larger platform. So Windows, I think, won the third-party support simply based on majority alone, simply because they were most of the market. And in order to get the most amount of numbers, you know, it's similar to what I do now. You know, you upload to YouTube, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
YouTube's really stupid, but that doesn't mean you can have just as much success on Vimeo because there's not as many people over on Vimeo. So you go to where the masses are, and you try to appeal so that your
or you change the
audience
game.
Is huge.
You change the game. But what I mean by that is that, like, I get what you're saying, because I remember in elementary, middle, high, that we were on IMAX, those colorful IMAX, and Apple had their contracts with the education system, and they and that's why that was the standard for a while. So the Windows coming through was after my time, but now they changed the game. And I know we've talked about this before in regards to why iPads can't be the school standard for the law, the legal purposes and stuff like that. But change the game in the way that's like you're using desktops when you could be taking something portable with you. And with the exception of not having a cursor and all that, Apple has gained majority share for the masses just based off the fact that they moved away from computers and they went to the iOS. And if they it is what it is, and it's not Apple's fault. It's what the people, you know, who have say on the education system, it's their thing. But had they just done away with, like, you need to have a mouse and trackpad, if they just did away with that, then there's no doubt in my mind that iPads would be the new standard because they are the cheapest, they are the best. Everyone admits that for a tablet, you get an iPad. And if that was to be the new school standard, then there's your first introduction to Apple at a young age in the school system using iPads. And I think their workaround ask the little girl. I don't know. But but the other workaround is that, I mean, everybody has a smartphone these days. You know, kids have smartphones. But that's the workaround. And so maybe overall, I guess Windows, like, you bring up a good point. Windows is appealing because of the software, the third-party stuff that goes on Windows. But if you change the game and you put it all on iOS and you build up from there, I know that for example, like gaming. People, gaming PC, this, that, I get it.
It's a huge market.
It's a huge market. And I don't have, I'm not trying to counter that. However, without countering it, we are still in the early stages of mobile gaming, which is why the interface is still kind of childish and cartoonish, and they're pushing it. But if, you know, even if it's Xbox S graphics or what have you, it's only a matter of time. I truly feel it just with time, like everything else, when it comes to hardware, these mobile devices, whether it's your phone or the tablet or anything, a hybrid, these portable devices are going to have the capabilities to do these AAA games the same way, and they'll be able to support the frame rate, support the speed.
Yeah.
And Windows is going to die. I kind of see, like, Windows
is going to die.
not in a bad way, not in a victorious way. It's just like it's it's past its time. It's now we're not in that era anymore.
I think Windows, Microsoft themselves are not helping Windows stay relevant. I mean, it's still one of the most popular operating systems in the world. Yeah. Like, will it die? I don't know if I'd agree to say that far, but I'd say like eventually, if they keep doing things the way they are, I think that markets are going to change. You know, like a lot of people with gaming PCs now didn't grow up with smartphones or tablets.
Sure.
That's still relatively new, but a lot of people, you know, kids, you think little kids right now are growing up with phones and tablets, and they're going to see that industry develop very, very heavily, whereas the PC gaming market, while it definitely is a huge one right now, likely won't be able to keep up, particularly given Microsoft, you know, making things like Windows 10S and making updates and rolling out inconsistent, you know, driver corruption and beta programs to people who don't want it. They're making all kinds of mistakes like that. It's going to like deter people. Like it deterred me. Like I was a huge PC Master Race guy growing up. Right. I was all about like, if you're going to game, do it on a PC, keyboard and mouse all the way. And you can do much more customization. You've got much more graphic performance out of a PC. But because of how Windows 10 was handled, it pushed me to a console. Yeah. Even the Xbox like has been really consistently enjoyable for me and reliable. In regards to just, I need to turn on a device and start gaming. I couldn't get that with the PC, but with the consoles, it was much more reliable and consistent. And I don't even think consoles are necessarily the future either. I think you're right, Randy, that we're already seeing with the iPad Pros, the more recent generation, that they're very quickly catching up to console level, PC level performance. They're not quite there yet, but they're really close.
Right.
And some of the most popular games in the world are available on mobile now and doable on mobile. And I think that essentially like what makes a device, a gaming device, are the games that are on it. And that's decided by the developers that make the games. And like a lot of people ask, like, Drew, do you think Apple should make a gaming oriented iMac or a gaming oriented MacBook? I'm always like, there's nothing inherently not gaming about a Mac other than the fact that third parties don't put their games on Mac. Like the latest iMacs or the latest MacBooks or the that they have GPUs that are fairly competent. I know that you can build a PC for much cheaper with the GTX. I get all that. But they have graphical performance and they have the hardware capable for doing very decent gaming stuff. The difference is, gaming communities know that most gamers aren't buying Macs, so they continue to put their games on Windows, and that's what keeps people using Windows. It's not really something inherently Windows 10 has that people like about it. You know, there's little things like, I like being able to snap my window to take up half the screen on one side. It's like, yeah, I like it. That's cool. Right. But it's not, you know, it's not what's going to keep Windows surviving.
I think we're going to see it become a niche market, like people who want to hold on to their PlayStation 2s or their original Xboxes so they can play like other, like I think like the Windows as a not as a service, but for supporting PC master games and all that, sure, they'll be there, but it's not going to be the masses anymore. We'll see the transition, because when we look, the iPad isn't even 10 years old yet. Okay. Like,
wow.
We're not even there.
10.
Wow. Randy.
Think about...
Wow.
So, where I'm getting at is that look how long it took these consoles to get to where they're at now to be competitive with PC gaming. And you could, there's still an argument that maybe it's still not there. But look at the iPad, how quickly it caught up, and we're not even a decade in. And you look... It just... From looking at charts, like it's going to catch up, and eventually, the people who grew up on PC gaming or grew up on Windows, like they're going to be there, but they're not going to be the majority anymore. And we'll see that transition happen. And I'm this is coming from someone just like you, Drew. I grew up Windows, PC, all that, and I was deterred from it. And what brought me back to, or I guess what as an adult got me into Apple was I remember my exposure to Apple in the school system. I was like, oh, I did iMac. That was fine. And so that was my exposure. Then the iPod was a thing for me in high school. Oh, iPod, this is cool. So that was my reintroduction. But what took me away from Windows as a whole, from gaming and then from services, was that it after XP, and I was like, oh, Vista, well, that was weird. And then we got 7, like, okay, cool, 7. And then after, then went to 8, I was like, I'm done. By the time I had 8, I was 100% transitioned into the Apple ecosystem. Yeah. And then 10 comes out, I'm like, maybe I should try it. No. And I was living vicariously through you guys. And then my work started implementing Windows 10, and I'm like, whoa, I am not about this. And now I feel myself, I wouldn't always consider myself to be an early adopter like Ann Sweeney with betas and stuff like that.
Oh, going there, Randy? Come on. Wow.
But I consider myself Mac's to be an
early adopter. My Surface Book's probably running a beta right now. That's why it's so crazy.
I am now considering to be an early adopter for mobile gaming, everything wired. Like, I see myself maybe... you know, not consciously. I just see myself moving towards early adopting because I do see the vision of where we're heading towards there and where where Windows is kind of dragging their feet.
Yeah.
And they're trying to like, this is what it is. And like, this is not the market anymore. But, you know, there'll always be a portion of it. It just won't be the mass.
True.
I don't get people's counter argument to the iPads with the Surface Pros when they just talk about like, well, it's good at writing documents.
Outstanding.
And email.
I spent $5,000 on my iMac Pro so I can write really good papers.
That's usually what people counter is that, well, Windows is good for productivity. I'm like, well, what exactly does Windows do on your Surface Pro or your Surface Go that you can't get for cheaper on the iPad, keeping in mind that the iPad starting price is $330? And people are like, well, you can plug in a flash drive.
play DJ Khaled, another one.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, you're right. Because we're... Okay, so all three of us, we're being, you know, the I think we're the exception, not the rule, that we all have these pros. But the pro is that people have just... Or they just need the regular iPad.
Yeah.
We want all that extra power because we're just, you know, we're fanatics about that stuff. Trickle-down
innovation. The tech we're getting in our pros... that are thousands of dollars now will become the budget option, I'm sure, in 4 years.
That's how technology works, though. I mean, if you look at what was the first gen iPad Pro, had an A10X chip. Was that the was that the big one? And now that's for $329.
You know, it's all gonna trickle down.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I give it amount of time and everything will be cheap. Yeah, there's the specs of the specs.
The specs.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's all going to move down market.
Yeah, seeing how developers are going to start changing the game, literally their game, for a tablet and
I see what you did there, Drew.
Seriously, like, if they added controller support for Fortnite on the iPad, that's it. Yep. You've got a mobile console right there.
But you know everything. What Microsoft's doing right now? The Xbox. They're paying who is it who owns Fortnite? Whoever owns Fortnite?
Epic.
Thank you. They're paying Epic like $2 billion a year not to add support for, you know, the
because of their one what's their streaming service going to be called?
Microsoft or Xbox
One. Did you hear about that?
I don't know. Yeah, I remember. Stream. Yeah, it has like it's like Netflix for games.
In 2019, Xbox is launching their own like play games wherever you are on the go or whatever thing.
Yeah,
I doubt it's going to work because you're going to need like gigabit to get like a stable connection.
But that's where 5G comes from.
Yeah,
but don't hold your phone like, the wrong
people
way.
People in LA can use it,
right? Not Chico.
Yeah.
No, probably not here. But yeah, regardless, I think you're right. The Windows 10 is probably not going to age very well.
Mm-mm.
I remember when they announced it, they said this was going to be their last operating system. And I was like, BS.
Yeah, it will be because they'll be out of business next week. No.
But they're more valuable than Apple.
I think it would be interesting, though, like if I ever start my own CPA firm or whatever in the future, or any kind of business, really, I'd be interested to see how much you could get done on just a solely 100% Mac Apple ecosystem. You know, fully spec iMac.
It's probably possible.
You know, fully spec
I think
MacBooks,
it's completely possible.
Fully spec'd, you know,
I mean, just look at Google. That's what they use.
Yeah, I mean, essentially.
No need. Pixel? No need. We use iPhones.
There's some. Yeah, there were reported people who worked inside like the Google headquarters. I remember them saying that like, basically, everyone here uses a MacBook. Most of Google services were built on Mac, but I'm sure they use their own custom stuff too, but
yeah,
I just thought that was funny.
Yeah,
good old Google.
I bet Apple uses a lot too.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure Apple develops all of their Final Cut software on Android. You know, on the Pixel Slate, whatever that thing is.
They learn their fantastic video editing performance from the Pixel Slate. Yeah,
that's it.
On that. Doesn't John Morrison have to make a video?
I think he does. Oh, I'm wondering why he ever.
How's he going to do that?
I don't know. It's not going to be crispy. Like
everyone wants me to review it. I don't like having Pixel products around. It's bad enough that the wife is using the Pixel Slate.
I bet you wish you would have done that before you married her.
Funny. Like, no, I knew my it's completely something my wife would do. My wife is a total devil's advocate. Anytime I like something, she'll try to find the flaw, or anytime I don't like something, she'll try to find the good thing. It's just her like playfulness.
Is she using the 3 or the 3XL?
3XL.
The 3XL.
Ah.
Well, her reasoning is that it's not pink and it's pretty.
Oh. Well, but, by that it's definition, funny because black is also not pink.
It's true.
None and that's also pink. Pretty.
No, she, we uploaded a vlog on Talos of Talks called, like, My Wife Likes the Pixel 3.
Yeah.
And she talked about all the things she appreciates. And all of the comments are so beautiful because everyone's like, I think Louise has got you beat, Drew. She's a better tech reviewer. And I knew you married a smart one. Oh. She knows way more than you do. She just destroyed your argument. And what's hilarious is reading all these comments now, because for the past 3 days, my wife's only been complaining about it. She's like, okay, YouTube crashes all the time. And I'll be in the middle of using an app. And I'll be playing a playlist. And the next video won't play. And I don't have this problem on my iPhone. And she starts going off. And I just sound like Emperor Palpatine. I'm like,
good. Give in to your anger. I fear your hate.
So I just, I can't wait for the follow-up video because all these people are like,
see, Drew, your wife.
Should I switch back to the iPhone?
Do it.
She's like, I think my Christmas present to myself will be getting the 8 Plus back because she misses her 8 Plus.
8 Plus, really?
She really doesn't like the 10R.
She doesn't like the 10.
My wife, it's very interesting, I think, when us techies leave the tech community and find what people's reasoning is for liking and not liking products.
What? They're not worried about the reasoning specs? For the 10R.
No, they don't even care about, like...
But it's not 1080p, Drew! Like, how can you even watch a YouTube video?
I don't think she cares about that even. Her reasoning was essentially, I was like, you want to switch back to the 10R? And she was like, no. I was like, why? It was like, because it looks like it's too like cheap looking, like plastic on the back. And I'm like, it's glass, just like the 8 Plus. She's like, yeah, but the blue just looks like a 5C, and I don't like that it looks cheap.
Well, we're going like, to have to fix that problem.
It looks like a nice phone.
Get a
see, Apple red. Store.
No, believe me, I've checked on this. I sound like Trump right now. Believe me, I've got to do it.
Nobody knows phones better than me, believe me.
My wife knows phones better than anyone. I've offered her so many times. I'm like, hun, look, we can go to the Apple Store, trade in the 8 Plus, and we could get a 10R for, I think, $400.
Yep.
And this will be no problem. You know, we can upgrade it. I was like, if we sell this product, can we like can we if we sell the Pixel 3, that's $500. We can use it to pay for the 10R. And she's like, or we could put it in our savings.
Ooh.
So that's every time money shows up, she's like, that could go in our savings.
She's not wrong. I mean, I can't counter that. She's not wrong.
I could say that to like any time we go to the grocery store too, though. Or we need some bread. Or we could put it in the savings.
And again, you're not wrong. I can't counter that. You're not wrong.
Believe me, we have had a 2-week debate about getting a second 10R because I kept telling her, I want you to have a 10R. And she was like, I just don't like the blue one. I'm like, we'll get a coral one. I don't care what color
coral!
You want. Like, we'll get red. We'll get white. She was like, I wanted you to get a white 10R because that one looks more premium. And I was like, fine, let's get a white 10R. That'll be great.
There you go.
Savings.
Oh. Savings. But how else are you guys going to memoji each other when you are laying next to each other?
Well, she's green in messages right now. She's very excited to go back to the iPhone now. Funny.
See, that's the only thing. That's the only positive thing I got from you when you were using the Pixel was how much more you appreciated iOS. And well, she acknowledged the burn, the burn-in, right?
Yeah. She did, yeah. She was like, yeah, I see it. She said, I wish you wouldn't have brought it up, but...
Guys, it is. It's noticeable. I don't know what it is about, like, recording it on, like, a camera on a camera that, or a camera on a screen that doesn't pick it up. It is so noticeable.
And Randy, when you came up and you looked at the 3 XL, that was 2 days after I unboxed it, too.
Yeah. First thing I know. I go,
That was instant.
I looked right at it, I go, hey, Drew, is that burning? Or is that part of the... Because I remember asking, like... Because the thing is, the Pixel has this grayed out part next to the droopy earlobe notch thing. And
so many of the apps just cut a line.
And it just cuts off.
Where
so I looked
is,
at it, I go, hey, is this part of the interface? Or is that burn-in? And Drew looks at it and goes, wait a minute. we start fiddling with them like, oh, no.
Yeah.
What do we have here 2 days into it?
So instant. And then I found another fan on the Twitter that said that he bought a 3XL and he had the same problem.
Yeah.
So that's when I made that tweet about that. I was like, I tried to warn you guys. You didn't believe me. This is real. This is a real problem.
Yeah. Just spending a couple hours with your phone, I didn't like it. The only thing I did appreciate, when I was using it for the wedding, it good camera. That's all I have to say. It's a good camera. It's not worth. It's not worth the cost of the camera. Like for that sake, like I'd rather use your.
But the ExoMark says that the iPhone has worse specs on the camera than the Huawei.
It takes good photos, but iPhone has the best video camera on like, and I'm a videographer over a photographer. Mm-hmm. I can't justify spending that amount of money for still photos when I spent less money on my Nikon DSLR that I have, right? Less money, and I have more features on it, and I can and it's customizable lenses, apertures. I mean, it just a good
camera.
But it's an actual camera. If you want to take great cameras, spend less money, get a legit. You can even get like a point and shoot camera. There's so much more options for less money if you're trying to be cost effective. Like,
but
the specs, great camera. the specs are just. I'm sorry, they're garbage. And all of it, garbage. They have good software implementation about how to clean up the photo, and that's it. It's not worth the money for that. Anybody who's that focused on it already has at least Photoshop or some type of editing software somewhere that they have either paid for or that they're very good at using, that you don't need to drop that type of money just for cameras. You need the whole experience with it and the phone. If that's your point and shoot, I'm sorry. I think that the overall implementation of the UI is just better utilized in Apple, and I'm trying to look at it objectively. You can't do that with Google. It crashes. Drew was trying to open up standard stock apps, and it would just
like
bug
the
out.
Settings.
And then when I was using it, I was like, well, maybe Drew's just doing it wrong. Maybe he's just being too Apple sheep. No, legitimately, the thing's garbage. No.
But the specs.
We tried to stream my wedding with the Pixel 3 and the microphone didn't work.
Is that all. The problem?
It just didn't turn
on. Was that the problem? Oh my gosh, I thought it was my internet connection.
No, everyone was freaking out during the stream. They were like, why can't I hear anything? That's the Pixel.
Yep. Cool.
It was playing some type of audio.
Yep.
But the mic and the app support is not working. It wasn't going well. But we've reached our hour, gentlemen. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Happy New Year's, everybody. Yeah,
definitely.
Happy New Year's.
See you guys next
year.
Going to
2019, healthy, strong, and ready to rumble.
I really can't wait for YouTube Rewind 2019. That'll be legit.
That's hot.
You know what I can't wait for? And I mean this very sincerely. I can't wait for that new Talos of, 2019 version.
The re-edition.
Even though I know, I mean, the point is I'm still excited to just see it and implement it. It's going
to
be fun.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see my name disappear off of the credits. It's going to be awesome.
I can't. I'm tired of seeing Aunt Sweeney's name.
Me too.
I'm going to make a whole TikTok where it's like, I just flip the switch. We switch it to light mode, and then all the new intros play.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that. But, I mean, yeah, everybody have a safe, happy, outstanding new year. Go into 2019 strong, and we will see you guys.
End of the decade.
Soon. Woo! End of the decade. There you go.
And let's we'll get our Apple glasses and Apple car. You know, those are due in 2020. So
that's right. It's going to be a big year. Okay, well, cool. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you in the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.